going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Caleb Williams is becoming super fat. In the span of a week, he was at Soldier Field to see Messi play. Then he went to the Bulls game courtside.
The quarterback of your Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams.
Then he was at PCA bobblehead day. Get that man in front of the playbook. Projector, please.
Get that man in front of the playbook.
Yes.
When you have a little free time, you want to find balance within all of this. That's really important.
Super fan later.
In fairness, no, at the Bulls game, he threw it into the second row.
I did see that. Who caught? Did anyone catch that pass? They dropped it?
They said that some guy was walking by with a plate of shrimp in one of the boxes and caught it in the air.
Yeah, right.
Lawsuit pending.
And I think some guy pushed Caleb Williams over after he threw it just out of habit.
Someone sacked him.
Yeah.
The Bears.
He was sacked on the throw.
You should have seen the two other attempted throws.
Right.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Hey, everybody.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Whoa now, hold on. Hold on, everybody. We got to check the final statistics of that game last night.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday. What a happy Wednesday it is. After all the happiness at Wrigley Field.
You know what the best thing about that? He just got it over with.
He got it over with quickly.
He just walked up.
Ian Happ says, been here long enough. Let's go home, everybody.
Yep. Who's that? Is that a shadow? That's a human here.
What a victory at Wrigley Field.
It was great.
11-10.
Is it wrong that I'm happy the bullpen's bad because things like that happen?
Well, if the bullpen is bad, your hitting better be great. And the Cub offense is right now. And as it says on Cubs.com, of course, can't stop these Cubbies. That's the headline.
Can't stop these Cubbies.
Can't stop these Cubbies. You got to love it right now. It's fun. Last night was fun again. This last week has been unbelievable to watch the Cubs. You can never count this team out.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Can you hear the?
I can hear that.
That's can you hear the price?
That's the price.
That's the price.
The Kyle Tucker sticker price.
That's right.
Little sticker shock for Tom Ricketts. But you know what? He keeps delivering, and you can keep convincing yourself that it would be a wise investment.
Oh, I mean, you're gonna have some splaining to do if you do not sign that guy.
If you don't sign a guy, because let's face it, when he went up to the plate, they're down 10-7.
Yes.
Runner on, Tucker at the plate, King Tuck. Cha-ching, cha-ching. He goes deep. He goes deep, and you weren't that surprised?
No, you weren't surprised.
You weren't that surprised?
That's what he does.
He has been such a clutch hitter.
He is so good.
And the Cubs have been so good because of his presence in that lineup. It's more than that, but that's a big piece.
It's a big part of it.
when you have a guy like that, that's how you get back in games quickly.
Yes. Cha-ching.
Score
I like
learned.
That.
Yeah. Cha-ching. What is that noise?
Moments like that, though, as they say, are priceless. They really are. They're priceless.
Those are the games, man. And we've already got one in the books where you just make a little notation.
Yes.
That happened again. Where are we? What's the date? Oh, look at this.
It's because they don't ever feel like this is an offense that can't come from behind. And you don't ever feel as a team that you're out of it, regardless of how shaky your bullpen looks.
I got to tell you, that was one for the books. That was, you know, first of all, it was a good game. It was kind of a little weird because Shota was giving up dingers. It was just odd.
Too many.
And I know there were some errors, so there were unearned runs, but he gave up three.
Three home runs
home
for
run,
Shota.
Which yeah, and they were real, like no doubter home runs.
Well, you're exactly right. Whenever your ace gives up three home runs, you do feel good about winning, but it's kind of like an uneasy feeling about your pitching.
Yes.
Because that's too many, even though it is the Dodgers. Even though we struck out Ohtani twice, you don't want Shota Imanaga to get in the habit of giving up five runs. Only two that were earned because of the errors. He struck out six, but three long balls are really a source of concern, I would say. But all's well that ends well.
Oh, I love that you just quoted Shakespeare on his birthday. That is beautiful.
Listen,
Mr. David.
Do you think I am here not to quote the great poets like Shakespeare and Ben Jonson?
Yeah, Ben Jonson also going with the poetry yesterday.
And I mean the football coach, not the English poet from the 16th century.
No, okay. There was a Ben Jonson, yes. That's correct. No, I'm talking about the...
Look at Dustin Rowland's eyes.
No, it's Bill Shakespeare's birthday, guys.
Yes, it
is. The Bard. William Shakespeare. Today is his birthday.
I know.
And his death day. They
did
don't
he die
know,
on the same day?
They don't. It is recorded as such. They don't know with certainty when he died, apparently. But he is celebrated, remembered for being born on this day and then later dying on the same day.
Have to ponder that.
Yeah. I mean, again.
To be or not to be. That is the question.
Whether it is nobler in the mind to endure the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or take arms against the sea of trial. I could do the whole damn
thing.
What a
day it is.
I was forced to.
I did not realize that.
It is Bill Shakespeare's birthday and his death
Crispin
day.
Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world.
Oh, that is a great, that's from, is that Henry IV, part two? That's a great
that's a
speech.
Good,
exactly.
Yeah, that's your guy.
That's a good pull there, Tyler.
Yeah.
Wow.
Baby T in the
Baby
house.
Baby T.
Baby T
coming up
today.
Big at 537.
Look at that, man.
Yeah, that's a good play there. I toast Bill Shakespeare with my celebratory orange juice, thank you.
You quoted him to open the show. That
well,
is pretty awesome.
You brought him up, and I am in the spirit of that. And hey, who isn't in a good mood today if you stayed up and watched that Cub ending?
Yeah,
goodness
who,
sakes.
Who isn't completely delirious and giddy this morning?
Absolutely true. Guilty as charged because as I'm flipping around, the NHL playoffs just are so fun to watch. I know you're happy for me, whatever. But Matthew Tkachuk comes back. The Panthers, who I think are going to be a factor. I'm watching that. I'm flipping the Cubs. I get a little discouraged when the Cubs are down 10-7. But as you say, you're never out of it with Kyle Tucker at the plate. So I'll go back and you're drawn in. And then Ian Happ, boom. You just knew that was going to end. When
yeah,
it
discouraged
did.
Was a good word for it, David.
Here's a very funny text. Did you know the other poet who born and died in the same day?
Who?
Merle Haggard.
That's more David's poetry, right?
Merle Haggard, yes.
No, I got to go look that one up.
I'm going to have to look at that.
That is just, that has to be the biggest.
I've always said country music is like poetry. It is. It's like, it's very poetic. It's just put to different music. You like it or you don't. Yeah, Merle Haggard. I did not realize that, though.
I don't even know if it's true.
It might not be true.
I love that someone has referenced Merle Haggard at 5:38 a.m.
Well, you know. You never know what we're going to get into these days.
There's no telling. There's no telling.
Cubbies can't be beat, though.
No.
That's according to the website.
Yep.
And I give them credit. It is okay to get a little carried away. That was the Dodgers. That wasn't the Marlins. That wasn't a team that you look at like perhaps the Pirates. It wasn't a team that you should have beaten. This was the world champion coming in on Shohei Ohtani's in town. It was a marquee event, no pun intended. It was a big deal.
I saw him struck out.
Three times.
Mm.
Three times. Showed it twice. And then, wait for it, Cub fans. You don't know who this is, maybe, if you haven't been paying that close attention. But Gavin Hollowell was dealing last night.
Yeah, Jerry Hollowell.
Hollowell was brought up from outstanding.
Is he now in the circle of trust?
He is. Did you hear Craig Counsell talk about him?
Sure did.
That counts as absolutely giddy by Craig Counsell standards. He singled him out, and he was exactly right, because at that point in the game, you needed some stability from a bullpen that was shaky, and your guy, Gavin Hollowell, provided it.
Merrill Haggard, born April 6, 1937. Merrill Haggard passed away April 6, 2016.
Just saying.
When was the last time Haggard died?
The last time the Cub won the World Series? Just saying.
I believe that was the start of the season, though.
But it was the same year. That's the point. That's the point.
The point is,
when you win a game like that last night, 11-10 against the Dodgers, you wake up thinking anything is possible with the Cubs. That's just it. And let us enjoy today. Enjoy today. Tonight might be different. Tonight, though, Matthew Boyd against Dodger bullpen. Advantage Boyd. Advantage Cubs. Right? Right, Dustin?
Wait, we got another texter. Andy Gibb of the Bee Gees, born and died on the same day. Actually, I have no idea.
I was just typing it into Google.
You'll find out. Is that correct?
I was just about to type it into Google.
Someone just made it up. It's just so fun. But that's as bizarre as Merle Haggard.
Okay. What about if I say Bee Gees, first song that comes ahead into your head?
Nobody gets too much heaven no more.
Oh, wow. Baby, come back.
Huh?
What about you?
I don't even know that one.
Oh man, really?
I know Baby Come Back.
Staying Alive.
Oh, you don't know nobody has too much heaven.
I'm gonna lose it if you start singing the Bee Gees.
Are we gonna bust out a yacht rock concert?
That's all I got. It's all I got.
I feel like I'm at home. My wife's always like, Alexa, play yacht rock.
Okay.
A lot of yacht rock going on out there.
Oh god.
That is not true about the Bee Gees.
No.
That is not true. 309, I think David is drunk.
I just think there's a level of kind of drunkenness when you're completely sleeplessly delirious.
Well, I don't want to say sleepless, but it did have a hard time coming down.
Far too late because it was too exciting to turn off.
So, what game was better?
We'll get to that. I think that
too early.
No, I think it needed. It's worth talking about.
I agree,
because Friday there was a shock value. There was a 10 runs in an inning.
Yes,
is something that was historic. Something right. that like doesn't happen, and it has never happened at Wrigley Field. So you had that claim to fame, if you will.
And you also had all of the things created that had never happened in an MLB game ever. I mean, so last night was more bullpen meltdown, hitters come back. It just had a better feel.
It sounds odd to me if I say it out loud, but I think last night said more about the Cubs as a team than Friday did. Friday felt like it was more like baseball's game. It was like 13-11. Both teams had their share of making history. The Diamondbacks scored 10 runs.
Nothing went on for a while, and then everything blew up at the end. It was two to one
when they sang the seventh inning stretch on Friday. Crazy. I remember thinking, well, 2-1, that's a snoozer. Then all of a sudden, everything goes crazy. Yes. Last night felt like it said more about the Cubs as a team and the resolve and the fact that you could never count this lineup out. And also, because it came against the world champions, I think that because it came against the Dodgers, it meant a little bit more. I would give the slight nod in the spirit of the moment, getting swept away and a prisoner of that moment. I would say last night meant more.
That's recency bias.
It totally is. And I am always prone to that.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge that. But I wonder if That's Cub so fans funny. Feel like that is indeed the case. Last night was just a little bit better than Friday. What say you, Dustin?
I'm going to kind of side with Mully because of the 10 runs and all the things that had never happened in the history. But again, we talk about all the time in baseball about, you know, the 60 wins and the 60 losses, and then you're going to circle games that make a lot of sense that at the end of the day make or break your year. You know, these two games in the span of 5 days, you know, might be at the top of that list.
I think that's
right.
A good
you
way
might
to
have you might have the Friday game, and then the Tuesday night game right up there at the top. And when you're doing this in April, and you're doing this with a, you know, not really having a third baseman and not really having a bullpen, you're looking like those are correctable problems.
Are we going to talk about the third baseman?
Oh, we have to. Because he could be. As someone mentioned in our pre-show.
Soon to be out of work, man? I don't think.
That's so mean.
That's so mean. Who would say such a thing?
Dustin wants, he wants the rookie brought back just to play third. What? Not to even hit. In fact, the pitcher will
have to just bat eighth. He could bat eighth every day. He plays better third base than these guys.
You need him. If he is back in Chicago, whenever he returns, and I think that he will, he needs about eighth or ninth.
Maybe tonight.
Return. Not tonight. You don't do that.
That would be too much of a knee-jerk reaction?
Yeah, too much of a knee-jerk.
Good question for Jed at 11:25.
Well, I think the broader question to Jed, he's going to say no. They're not going to send him down 1 week and bring him back the next. That would be too flighty for an executive. I think you wonder.
Plenty of options, David. Baseball, you got a lot of options.
I know. Well, but last night, all of their third basemen contributed in some way. You had Workman with the errors.
Yeah.
You had Brujan scoring the winning run.
Yes, almost right. Didn't score it.
Birdie pinch running and stealing second, which you thought was going to lead to something. I like the way that he is. Well,
maybe that's your answer. Maybe he needs like a little run here.
Maybe so.
Birdie needs a little, like, give him a week. Right? Give him a week unless there's some really obnoxious pitching matchup that Workman would be a better choice for. Give Birdie an extended run here. Let's see.
You have any other possibilities in your organization? I don't think that you do.
Well, you may have an option with ties to the organization.
I wasn't going to bring that to the air.
No?
That's fine. It was fun.
It could be my idea.
No, it's a meatball thought. I said out loud when we're having fun this morning. Clearly, we're having fun this morning.
We're very delirious.
Why don't the Cubs considered this when they're sitting around and enjoying a 11-10 victory after a couple beers and say, hey, Jed, what do you think what Rizzo's doing? Would he play first base because Michael Busch can play third? Want to sign him? Bring him back? Run it back? See, it's kind of a silly idea.
It's kind of silly. I wouldn't want to do that. But we do have a texter checking in, soon to be Detroit's third baseman. That's the problem.
Well,
if you bench another guy, you can't send him down. You send him to Motown.
Does he go back to Detroit?
He does.
So he's basically on loan from the Tigers? That's the way it works?
The way the Rule 5 thing works is he doesn't have to go back there. But he has to stay in the major leagues. So, in other words, who's the kid that Sox picked up, a Rule 5 guy that they traded for?
Shane Smith.
No, they picked up another one. They have two Rule 5 guys. They got a guy that was—
Another pitcher.
Yes.
Vassell. Yeah.
And I believe—
The Boston kid?
I believe he—
Yeah, you're right.
—belongs to someone, but they got him off whoever, and they have him on the roster, so he stays.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very complicated rule
to remember all of the
different ramifications.
Very, very difficult.
Here's another texter. So 847, move Amaya to third base. That's not going to happen. If you're ranking ideas, that's below bringing Rizzo back and moving Busch to third.
Yeah, and that's not
both are unlikely. Both are implausible.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have patience with that position because, as we talked to Taylor McGregor yesterday, it's a committee. It's
yes,
it's Birdie, Bruhan, Workman, and Turner, and they are your third base committee.
See, I don't even think Turner. I don't know about that one.
Why not?
I just Molly, don't know.
You just mentioned three options that none of them sound much better. Justin Turner is a guy that can play 2 to 3 times a week at third base.
Yeah. It can't be Workman today, right? He can't back out there today.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. If you look at it like
that's how I look at it.
Well, if you look at it like you're so mad at him for making those mistakes last night, then no, he's not going to be out there today. And there's going to be a punitive reaction to the mistakes that he made. Or you could look at it from a professional standpoint, like, you know what? If indeed you're going to have to trust him, you need to play him so he does go back out there to get past and get rid of that bad taste in his mouth.
Well, see, that's a non-knee-jerk reaction. Good for you, David.
Yeah. I'm trying.
No, that's pretty good.
I had a knee-jerk reaction to the Bee Gees discussion, and I was wrong. Baby Come Back was not by the Bee Gees.
I didn't sing Baby Came Back.
No, but the texter said that. Oh. I mentioned it.
Oh, and you David mentioned Baby Come Back? Yeah. Is your favorite Bee Gees song?
I thought it was a Bee Gees song.
Oh,
I
was so you were thinking of Staying Alive.
Yes.
Well, whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother.
The Cubs are staying alive.
Where's Grody so him and I could sing
he's
Metallica
in today.
Again together?
He's in today.
He's in. He'll be talking to, I believe, he'll be talking to Jed Hoyer.
Oh,
11:25
boy.
Today.
That's wow. Awesome. Jed Hoyer, great day to have Jed Hoyer on the station.
Leave him the list of questions.
Grody can handle himself. Marshall can handle himself.
We can do that during transition.
We can leave him the list of questions. Oh, here. And here's for you. For your interview later.
Ask didn't somebody hand order. You questions once?
Who did that? I honestly, I mean.
That's one of your famous stories.
I appreciate it.
For the roast.
Who?
Didn't somebody hand you some talking points for a segment here on The Score?
Not to my knowledge.
But you went to a Score transition before it was an institution. Wasn't
oh,
there?
Right, right.
Murph.
Right,
didn't Murph hand you some talking points that he
oh,
wanted
boy.
To go
yeah,
over during transition?
Poor Murph. Yeah. No, what happened was.
Why did that story stick with me?
Well, we were sitting there, and he would hand out like a cutout, some kind of thing he got from the paper. So we were sitting here, and he hands me this story he wants to talk about, and I look at it, and I just like ball the thing up and throw it out, and he's like, you don't like the story? And I'm like, I wrote the story. You don't think I know my own story? Like, I wrote every word of it.
That's a classic.
It was ridiculous. It was like he wanted me to be up on what I had written.
See, that's why it stuck with
well,
me.
You know,
that's what
he's just he was just looking out for the good of the station.
Yeah, apparently. We're going to go over this nonsense. That's my nonsense.
We're getting a lot of great contributions from the text line. Texters are up early. People suggesting one guy, Javi Baez, can play third, bring him back.
You know, he's out in center field.
Yeah, and then when PCA needs a day off, he can play center, right?
PCA does not need a day off. Let's stop with that. You've mentioned that a couple
times. Wrong
day
part, wrong day part.
I didn't hear the PCA should be benched idea. My guess is it was probably a little bit dated when he was struggling. But right now, he is not struggling.
No, he opened the season like 2 for 22 or something. But now he's hitting like over 300 and he's slugging like 500. I mean,
when you reflect on PCA season, I think we're going to look back and that trip to California really with his parents at Dodger Stadium, his elementary teacher in the crowd, his buddies at the ball game. The first time the Cubs played at Dodger Stadium, PCA came out of that slump and he has been terrific. He has been terrific. Three more hits last night. He's got his average after starting out below 200. He's up to 276.
Give that man a contract extension.
They talked about it.
Maybe he tried, right? What do you think?
If you're him, what are you thinking? What are you thinking now?
I'm thinking, cha-ching.
Right.
I'm gonna.
You're right. His price keeps going up, too. Who's more likely to get signed this season during the year, Tucker or PCA?
Yes is the answer to that. Well, I mean, there's no break on PCA. I mean, there is no break for Tucker. Like, that money is going up by the minute. Like,
yeah, it is.
We have like a little ticker underneath the games where his pay is raised.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. If they were going to extend him, they should have done it already. They should have gone to him. And they every minute you waste, the ticker's just kind of click, click, click.
But I get it. I get it from PCA's perspective.
Yeah.
Waiting it out.
Yeah, no, no. It's,
and
show them the money.
Show me the money. 773, Juan from Des Plaines. Wouldn't mind seeing the Cubs move Bush to third base and playing Moises Ballesteros at first.
Oh,
he's killing it in Iowa.
That guy, all he does is hit.
All he does is hit.
And he's very young.
Yes.
How old is he? 20?
I guess he's like 23, 24.
He might be younger than 23 or 24. I think he's young.
You think he's younger than that?
I do. I think he's like a
21.
He's 21.
Thanks, Tyler. Tyler's on top of his game.
Isn't that younger?
With his cup. Is that a cup hat? No.
No, it's the national championship hat, David. Remember your guy, Thomas Hauk?
Yes.
Thomas Haw.
All right. No, it's Hauk. It's Hauk. You said it right there.
David Hauk. You got a Florida title hat.
How about that?
Yeah,
very nice.
I do.
All I saw was champs, and it looked like a C, but it looks like the
Is it champs or chomps?
Chomps. National champions.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're all delirious. All right. We got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, I keep my nose on the grindstone, work hard every day. I might get a little tired on the weekend after I draw my pay, but I go back working. Come Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. I drink a little beer that evening, then sing a little bit of this working man blues.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
How does Tuesday night's 11-10 comeback walk-off victory over the Dodgers compare to Friday's 13-11 classic over the D-backs? How much lasting value do wins like this have? And who was Tuesday night's biggest hero?
Okay, I think that it is... I think it's really hard to compare both of these games, but I do believe that in terms of just the greatest statistical aberration, it was probably the Friday night game. So many things happened in that game over a two-inning period that had never before happened in the entirety of an MLB game. So I would have to say that was the biggest. It was more unlikely a comeback in a way because you had scored runs. Then when a team scores 10 runs against you in an inning, I don't know many times you're ever going to win a game. I mean, I don't even know if that's allowed. But they managed to come back and take the lead and win that game. So I think, you know, what strikes me is just the idea that you have two such games in such close proximity. And that underscores the idea that this team, that what was it? Cubbies never die. Cubbies never. What was the headline?
Can't stop the Cubbies.
You can't stop the Cubbies. I think that's fair. I think that when you win a game like the Friday night game, it's just like a bizarre happening, and everyone kind of comments on it. When you do it twice, then it's almost like, hey, there's a trend. They actually do this. This is something they can do. And if you really can do that, that is unbelievable.
Can't stop these Cubbies.
You can't stop the Cubbies.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the Friday game. It was an absolute instant classic because it was so demoralizing. And then you still roared all the way back. But last night, very, very close. I mean, we're talking centimeters as far as and these are the types of games, again, that you will circle and remember. But I think the really big part of this question is who was the hero, because there were lots of big moments in this game. But David, you mentioned his name in the first segment of this morning show, and he's going to be my hero, Gavin Howell. Two scoreless innings, two K's for a Cubs bullpen that, as I texted you and Mully last night in our little group chat, is absolute trash. And this is a guy brought up to replace Jordan Wicks and instantly takes the ball against the world champs and gets the job done. So I realize that he did not put any balls out of Wrigley Field, but he also didn't allow any balls to leave Wrigley Field or even get into the basket. So Gavin Howell, well, is my hero of the game.
Picking between these two victories is like asking somebody who is their favorite child. This was a tough decision between last night and Friday. Both were phenomenal victories. Friday was more about history, I think, because of the records that were set and the first time something happened at Wrigley Field ever since it was built. But last night was more about chemistry. Last night was about these Cubbies can't be counted out, and you can't stop them, and they never say die. You never count. You can never factor into that they come back from whatever deficit they're down. And the win the win percentage, as they measure these things, was 96% for the Dodgers. Two outs in the ninth, Miguel Amaya homers. That's my hero. That's the Cub hero. The guy who went deep. You know how many ballparks that would have been a home run in last night, according to StatCast? One. Wrigley Field. They were in the right place at the right time, as this Cub offense so often is. And they are never to be counted out. That was why last night, I think, meant more against this Dodger team, defending world champions. And 11-10, they were down 10-7, down to their last out. And you can never count this team out. Tanner Scott, the closer that got away in the offseason, serves it up. Game-winning walk-off hit. The Cubs are in a happy place.
This is the question that will be asked for the rest of time in sports.
At least the rest of time this year. What was your takeaway from Shota Imanaga's up and down start against the Dodgers? Did Dusty May resemble a pitcher the Cubs might be interested in later this year, or maybe not?
Not that interested in Dustin May. I don't think so.
But what about Dusty May?
Dusty or Dustin or nothing against the people named.
You don't like gingers. Just say it.
No, it's not that. I don't think that Dustin May, maybe down the road, a couple starts, perhaps. Let's talk in a couple months. That's when we'll zero in on the starting pitching. Shota Imanaga was a little shaky. Shaky Shota. It wasn't primetime Shota. He did strike out Ohtani twice. That's cool. He did deserve better than the errors that, you know, led to the unearned runs. That's also true. Don't think he was sharp, and I do think that you're looking for that kind of exactness from him when you're dealing with life after Justin Steele. You need the Cubs rotation to be consistent. You need the Cubs rotation to be to have its ace pitch better than he did last night. You can forgive and move on, and it's fine, and forget, but all those things don't mask that he was not at his best against the best team in the league. And, that's okay, because I think he can come back. It was up, it was down, but I think you'd like to see more consistency.
I think it's really important that we're bringing this up, because as fun as that was last night, as we talked about all show so far, if things play out the way we're hoping here in town, and as Baseball Reference referenced, the fact that the Cubs are the favorites to go to the World Series and win the World Series. I wonder what that... Now, I haven't anybody checked this morning yet if that number changed at all based on what happened. See, Shota can't give up three home runs to a team that you're likely to face in October if you hope to be playing in Craigtober. That's the problem. So, like, I the Dodgers feel like they can get to him after they got to him. And I wonder if Shota can try to erase it, or if he's going to think these guys got to me a couple of times now. And that's where I think you have to, and Shota's done facing them. There's only one game left in the regular season between these two teams. And to be honest, as much as we kind of moaned and groaned, and I'll say I did, you know, about all these games against the like, now I kind of want it. Like, you know, like, am I going to miss seeing like an ultra competitive game, or is it going to be another game against the Pirates? Another game against Ryan Porce Reds. You know, like, are you going to be, just bored and longing for these competitive games against real caliber baseball teams?
Why would you want to play a team? You're looking forward to the soft part of the schedule. Yeah. You're not missing the teams that can beat you better.
That's where you make hay. That's where
yes.
You... Yeah. I think that Shota had a rough outing. And it wasn't that he missed on a few pitches. I mean, he got they cranked it up against them. So he doesn't get punished with all the earned runs because workmanlike had the terrible error to open the game, and then there's a three-run homer, and that's not gonna hurt him as much, but it hurt. And you know, Tommy Edman got all of that one. And then, he gives up two more homers, and they were shots. I mean,
they weren't cheapies.
No. In fact, was it the end of the sixth where Kyle Tucker caught one against the wall? Like, I'm telling you, he was right on the ledge. He was right. He got out of the game, whatever. But it was like, holy cow, Shota is just kind of using a little bit of his shower magic. I don't know what's going on.
What's his ERA since the commercial?
Yeah, that's a good question. But the ERA wasn't as bad as it could have been because of the errors. But man, he gave up some dingers, and that's not good. As far as Dusty May was concerned,
Dustin.
He's just way too red. I mean, I'm with you, David. You're right. It was like
I didn't say that.
He had this like giant mop of red. So when he was leaning over, you could see like all the strands of red coming off his neck. Too much. I agree with you. It's too distracting.
I didn't say that.
Without answering a question directly.
Jed Hoyer, he'll be answering questions 11:25 right here on The Score with our midday show. Why wasn't Shohei Ohtani the biggest draw in baseball coming to Chicago? Not a bigger deal or create a louder buzz, or did he and we just miss it? Will there be a bigger star at Wrigley Field this year than Ohtani the last 2 days?
I believe there were, like, I saw like a parade of fans, of Dodger fans out in front of the building at one point. They were walking down the street going into the game, and I was like, wow, why are there non-Cub fans at Wrigley? It just didn't make a lot of sense. But there were a lot of people that seemed to show up for him. You know, here's the thing. I think the number one star in baseball is playing at Wrigley these days. Cha-ching. I think that that Kyle Tucker cha-ching, is really putting together a hell of a cha-ching season, and it would make me worry if I were Tom. I can't wait till Paul Skene shows up. I love those games, especially because he doesn't really have a team around him. It's just him, like, just throwing the ball. I always enjoy when Skene is pitching at Wrigley, or when Pittsburgh's in town and he's around and you think he might be able to pitch at some point or other. I do like that. I think he's probably the most exciting pitcher.
Greater than Ohtani?
No. Ohtani is the star of stars. Right. I'm just saying other people that you want to see.
He's on,
like,
the list.
Whenever Aaron Judge,
I remember going
shows
out there last
up,
year to see Skene.
I would go. I think Skene is probably the most exciting pitcher in baseball. So I would dig seeing him at Wrigley. I think Judge will only be here ever so briefly. Bobby Witt Jr. is a great ball player. I don't know if people care about watching him, but I do. Probably do that more on the South Side. But they're not here all the time. Does Soto do anything for you? Is that, you know, the hated Mets coming in? Would that be something? I'm just trying to think
maybe
of players. Like the Cubs,
no, he doesn't,
you go
actually.
You go out to see
not
the
as much
Cubs play.
Yeah.
You don't really go out to see the other team. So I don't know that there are many players, but I would definitely identify Skene as such.
Yeah, and, I mean, again, the way the Cubs' offense has been going right now, you'd wonder what they would do against a Paul Skene.
Yeah.
But to answer this a little bit more directly, I would say this. If this game, instead of being on April 22nd, were on June or July 22nd, I think there'd be a much bigger buzz. And I could say, you know, I'll take a look in the mirror. Shame on me for not pushing this more, because it should have been a bigger deal. Because Shota was pitching, the world champs were in town.
Yeah.
He had the Shota versus Shohei matchups. I mean, there should have been
a buzz
bigger than there was. I mean, it was. I listened to a lot of this game on the radio last night, and you could hear it coming through the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear it. You could see it. Obviously, if you're watching on marquee last
night,
and
Ron rose the occasion.
Right,
they were terrific.
So
playoff caliber.
There could have been a bigger buzz, but again, the NFL is king. And the NFL draft is tomorrow. And I know the Blackhawks and Bulls aren't in the postseason, but there are NBA and NHL playoffs going on. The kids are still in school. We finally have just had a couple of 70-degree days maybe in a row in Chicago. So I think if you move this game to June or July 22nd, I think the buzz would have been far, far greater.
I think that's a good point. I think also you look at MLB and you wonder how many players fall under that category that you would stop everything to go see play or watch or make an appointment with yourself to make sure you reserve time to not miss it, because you can't miss it. That kind of moment. I would think Ohtani's arrival is the closest thing we're going to have to that. If Aaron Judge were coming to town, I think at Wrigley Field, the Yankees at Wrigley would be something special. When they came last year, it wasn't that kind of a buzz. They didn't hit any home runs, so that was kind of disappointing. But yeah, I hope Ohtani creates a little bit of a stir today. People want to go see him play at Wrigley. Great, and I hope he strikes out three times again. That would be terrific.
Three more
because
times.
Seeing the best hitter in baseball strike out against the team that you're rooting for, there's nothing better than that. It was maybe a missed opportunity, but you're right in terms of all the extenuating circumstances with being April. It's NFL draft week. We're in a football city. Yes, we make room for the Cubs and the White Sox whenever they get good again, but I do think that we're kind of our focus collectively, sports media, sports fans, has been draft one, Cubs two, until the Cubs do something historic like last night, and you can't ignore it because you can't stop these Cubbies.
I don't know how to answer your question.
That's Ozzie Guillen. He'll be here answering questions at 8 o'clock, including maybe this question. With the struggling Twins and A's next on the Sox road trip, any chance of developing some momentum in the next week before returning back to 35th and Shields? What is a bigger concern if you're Chris Getz, supplementing an anemic offense or addressing the starting rotation issue in light of the Martin Perez likely season-ending injury that, oh, by the way, is not Tommy John?
Both are big problems. Both are major concerns. But I think that if you're going to prioritize what's the first thing at the top of Chris Getz's list, is you've got to find a way to supply some offense to help this lineup score some runs. Because you know what? Andrew Vaughn and Luis Robert Jr. not getting it done. Not getting it done. We can wait forever for Luis Robert Jr. to increase his trade value, and it feels like we're going to have to do that because he's not functioning at a high enough level. You need to give him some help or get some other options in there. Andrew Vaughn, same deal. Sorry, Vaughny. Going, gone, Vaughn. I don't know when you're going to get the kind of production you need to get out of him, so maybe you go to a AAA option like Elko. Maybe you bring him up
tonight.
Or what time is it?
Exactly.
Can he get here for breakfast? Can he get to Minnesota before brunch? Whatever the case is, you need to address this offensive deficiency that prevents you from scoring runs to get a lead to even protect. That's when you start to worry about pitching. Martin Perez, you wish that he didn't run into injuries, but you knew it was going to happen inevitably. Aging lefties, he could maybe come back, but it won't be this year. So I think offense.
He could come back at the end of the summer. That's what the manager said yesterday.
I know that's what he said. You want to stay optimistic. You don't want to write anybody off, but let's all be real here. You want to score runs. Good luck to Martin Perez in his recovery. But, boy, if you're Chris Getz, bring up some hitters. Going, Vaughn.
So if you look at yesterday's lineup and the next five starting pitchers, who might be on the roster the next time the White Sox are over 500? That's what I think Chris Getz has to do. And I think the answer to that question, and I don't want to jinx it, but the young catcher looks pretty promising. Edgar Cuero looks pretty darn good, and that's a boogeyman position for lots of teams in baseball. So if they've actually found their catcher of the future, maybe it's that guy, and that's a guy that you can focus on as a fan. But I think you're just looking, like who on the team today, and can they get, I mean, the struggling Twins, I mean, Oakland used to be a terrible place for the White Sox to go. Even when the White Sox were good, when they go out to Oakland, that was just, you just fire on the A's if you were betting on such a thing. But I don't think there's any momentum in the White Sox future except at the catcher position.
With the struggling Twins and A's next on the White Sox road trip, is there any chance of developing momentum in the next week before returning home? No. Which is the bigger concern if you're Chris Getz, supplementing an anemic offense or addressing the starting rotation issues in light of Martin Perez's likely season-ending injury? Yes.
Asked and answered.
That's your White Sox. There's your White Sox report.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
That is the voice of Ryan Poles. More Poles coming up here. What did you make of Ryan Poles saying at Halas Hall yesterday that he expects a wild draft with, quote, a lot of movement, end quote, than there has been in previous years? When asked if he could impact, if he asked what impact that could have on the Bears trading out of number 10, the GM had this to say.
Potentially. There's a lot of phone calls going on right now, so it's hard to tell today, but I think as we get closer, it'll start to show itself.
So, a lot of movement coming tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I like the prediction. There hasn't been anything happening yet, and there doesn't seem to be any players that are sought after to the point where people want to trade. But, boy, things are going to get wild and get crazy. I don't know. I really don't know what to expect out of this draft. I think we're in kind of free-fall mode. In other words, we're just hoping someone free-falls. We'll just kind of sit there and wait and see if something can free fall. And if nothing falls, then I think maybe they try to get on a horse and get out of there. But I think that I don't want them messing what they have, which is two picks at the beginning of the second round, which is the strength of the draft. So make sure that you don't give up anything if you want to make a move. So I would rather personally see them trade down than trade up right now, just the way I'm looking at it. Feel like maybe they get lucky, maybe someone falls. More likely, they'll kind of have to take a position or try to undersell, like give up the 10th pick and not get paid enough for it. But if they want to do that, again, the strength of the draft is really, it's at the top of the second till about the end of the third round. Those are the positions you want to be in.
I'm with you, Mully. I'm right now more of a trade back guy. I'm not interested in trading up. What I think the Bears have to, you know, there was talks yesterday from Adam Schefter about the team was praying that the running back from Boise would fall to them. I think what the Bears, if they're going to actually pray for something, is you need two quarterbacks and maybe both tight ends to go before 10. And then you are basically going to have a really...
That's highly unlikely.
Very unlikely.
That's like novena-type praying.
Well, my point away. Like,
okay.
If you were going to pray for something, that's what I would pray for if I were running the Bears draft room. I wouldn't pray that the running back fell into my lap. I'd pray that both two quarterbacks go and two tight ends go, because then all of a sudden you might be in line for the best defensive player, second best defensive player in this draft, and potentially all three offensive tackles.
What did you make of Ryan Poles saying at Halas Hall yesterday he expects a wild draft with a lot more movement? Well, I'm so glad the Cubs did what they did. So we don't have to waste time parsing every empty sentence out of the mouth of that general manager who definitely has an obligation not to share much, and he didn't share anything worth discussing, in my view. And I don't really want to spend a lot of time addressing, you know, the filibuster by Ian Cunningham during his job interview sponsored by LinkedIn. I don't know what that was, but it wasn't anything that was useful to us. There wasn't anything offered that was really worth looking at. There was, obviously, they talked about, okay, there was one thing they said yesterday that we can talk about, I think, moving forward. Darnell Wright possibly moving from right tackle to left tackle. Beyond that, the rest was kind of like empty rhetoric.
The only thing that Poll shared was Cunningham. And as you say, he offered nothing.
That's a great question.
What did you make of local guy made good DJ Edwards getting his second consecutive veteran Brian Piccolo Award and wide receiver Rome Odunze getting the rookie version of that award? Were you hoping it would be Caleb Williams? How about Ben Johnson? Joking that...
I need to say a thank you before we get started, because it was in December that if you hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bump play, I don't know if I would have gotten this job. So thank you for that.
Ooh, What did you make of that?
Okay, first, TJ Edwards, deserving veteran, good leader. I hope he plays middle linebacker. I think that's a guy that they extended for a reason. And he is popular with his teammates. They respect him, and that's what this shows. Roma Dunze winning the rookie award surprised me. You have a franchise quarterback taking one, number one in the draft, and you see him start as often as he did. Caleb Williams would have been the guy I thought would get that award based on the punishment he absorbed and everything he went through. Teammates voted for Roma Dunze instead. I know people will look at that and think, I understand that reaction because I had the same reaction. As for Ben Johnson, comedian, stick to poetry. I think that I love the fact that he is that bold and that charismatic and that confident. That was a joke you share in the locker room in front of teammates. I don't think it's one that goes over very well when you do it publicly. I don't think you want to make fun of your players. I didn't know that TJ Edwards was the guy who took the bait on that play. But now you know what? America does. And I don't think that's such a good idea.
Who moved my cheese?
Yeah, the honeymoon might be over in the locker room, definitely on the defensive side of the ball, and at least with this fan. I didn't think Ben Johnson had a very good day yesterday. He made the Brian Piccolo Award about him with that silly poem. It's not about him. It's about Brian Piccolo and what that award means and what it stands for. Thought he was out of line, and if I'm TJ, I might send my coach a text, say, didn't appreciate it.
DJ, I think that you should say that. I'm not going to address what you said because I want to do that in the extra point.
Okay.
But I think that's an interesting comment you make. I felt like it was kind of out of line to make a joke about the guy when he just won the second straight Piccolo. He must be one hell of a teammate, and he must be really well loved. When I saw that Caleb didn't get it, it did kind of like, could you encourage some people to vote for him just so he gets it? You know, can you fix the vote? But
can you invite everybody
okay.
to his birthday party?
I think Roma Dunze must be like a really good guy. I remember watching whatever bits of that ridiculous television show last year, but it was Jalen Johnson going to him, hey, do you mind staying and running some routes with me? And he was more than happy to do it. And I think that must be the way he is all the time. But so he must be a good dude, and there's a reason he got voted for that award. But I'm kind of with you, David. I that might have been wiser to make sure you at least gave the appearance that the quarterback was the most popular cat out there and everybody loves him and he's doing great. But that's okay. Roma Dunze is a good guy. And I think that that Edwards is exceptional and I'm glad they signed him. The rarest of all bears, a productive linebacker. All right, we've got the extra point. We'll get right to that next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you think of Ben Johnson, Bears poet, who penned this about the late Brian Piccolo?
It's called More Than a Jersey. He wore the C upon his chest, not just in games, but in each test. A bear by number, name and grace, but more than that, a steady face. He wasn't picked in any round or fame, no headlines danced around his name. Yet still he fought and still he rose, a quiet strength the whole team knows. With courage burning deep and true, he gave his all in all he'd do.
Ben Johnson, the poet, your thoughts?
I loved it. I thought it was the most impressive thing I heard at Hallis Hall on Tuesday. I think that from the idea to the execution, it was elegant, it was eloquent, it was all the things. It was original. It was like Ben Johnson, the 16th century English poet. It was definitely one of those things you don't expect to hear from a football coach at a press conference. And that's okay, because I do think his game plans will reflect that originality, that authenticity, and that amount of imagination. So I do think it's on brand for him. Yeah, he's a math guy. Yeah, he's a numbers guy. But he's also a guy not afraid to delve into poetry and to take that kind of a risk. Because we talk about Ben Johnson, the risk taker, the gambler, the play caller. That was a pretty big risk he took yesterday at Hallis Hall as a football coach, reciting a poem he wrote himself. I'm all for it. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that we can have two different ideas. Yes, the joke about TJ Edwards went a little far, but this poem that he wrote and recited was definitely touchdown Bears.
Are we sure that he wrote it? I think we might have to listen back to the tape, because he did talk about, as you said, David, that he is a numbers guy. I almost felt like he said he outsourced it. He delivered it pretty well. I just think between that and then the joke about the stumble bum play with TJ, I just think it combined, it became too much about he's had his victory lap. We're all still in love with him. We're going to see who he wants. He's going to be selecting, and Ryan Poles is going to stand there and comment about who's picked by the Bears, Friday and Thursday and Saturday. I just think this was the first misstep, and hopefully the only misstep, for Ben Johnson.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Honestly, It made me think about poetry for a second, and coaching, and beginning on a career, beginning anew at something. And it made me think of William Wordsworth, and it made me think of the poem, "We poets in our youth begin in gladness, but thereof comes in the end despondency and sadness." And that is how you make me feel, despondent and sad over your attack of the poet, because the guy is a numbers guy, and he reaches out and he goes for something. But like everyone trying something anew, trying something fresh, something unspoken before, he comes to you with his gift, and you spit upon it, sir. And now the poet has a broken heart. Maybe the poetry gets better, but it will never be as fresh and new as it once was because of the journey that one must go through as artist.
Bravo.
Mullion Haw, 312-644-6767, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mornings with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What a morning. What a morning it is. The morning after the Cubs' biggest win of the season.
Easily.
Biggest win of the week.
Almost.
Biggest win of the month.
Second biggest.
It's great to have these points of comparison. Is Friday as good as what last night felt like? I mean, the Cubs, in the span of 5 days, have had two moments that could be flashpoints in a special season. That's what it feels like. This resilience of this team is something that you want to believe is special.
And Dustin Guys Crowley wants to take us out there last night.
Okay,
Crowley's on. Hey, Crowley.
Good morning, Crowley.
What's going on, boys? Sorry, my voice is still a little hoarse from last night. I will tell you that down there, that was a playoff atmosphere at Clark and Addison. If you go to my Twitter, I have that video of that parade going down Clark Street, of all the Dodgers fans chanting and screaming. If you went to the bleachers lines, it was probably about 75% Dodger fans lined up to get into the bleachers early. The one thing that I really noticed was the amount of Japanese fans. And when your guys were talking about Shohei Ohtani and what he brings and the electricity, there were a lot of baseball fans, or specifically Ohtani fans, that I thought were out to Wrigley for the first time. If you go to Wrigley along the third base side, there's a first-timer certificate that had a huge line in it. So Everything from the concourses to the beverages, all the lines were absolutely massive. It was like an opening day, or it was like a postseason game, and we're talking in April. And every time Shohei Ohtani came up the bat, and he didn't really do much yesterday. I think he got a walk, but every
he
time
did
he
nothing.
Up the bat,
he struck out three times.
Were the fans disappointed he didn't get the golden sombrero?
Crowley, great scene setter.
Thanks, Crowley.
The video I saw while we were talking about it this morning, there were a ton of Dodgers fans there. And I think it answered the question, how big of a deal is Shohei Ohtani coming to the north side? Yes, it did create a little bit of a ripple. And you know what? Those Dodgers fans went home unhappy.
Oh, I guarantee you. It's a pity we lost Crowley. I'd like to know, when that bullpen meltdown happened, did people start to clear out a little bit? Was there, because it felt like,
it did, Mully. I mean,
it felt like a,
when the Dodgers scored, what was it, five times in the same inning, and they got to 10. It felt like it was worth turning off. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't. And part of me wondered, and I think this is part of the feeling you're going to get off in this season that, maybe they're not out of it. Maybe they'll get a home run. Maybe they'll be able to manufacture a run. And then Tucker homers to right, and it's 10-9.
I started to retreat when I got the "this bullpen is garbage" tweet. A text, excuse me, Dustino was, you had it. And I thought,
trash.
Okay, trash is what you said, not garbage. I'm sorry. But
hey, hold on.
Yeah.
All caps.
Oh,
trash.
Yeah. No. But it was
like T-R-A-S-H, all caps.
Yeah.
I did spell it right.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
So that's why you didn't use garbage?
One more. That's a better. Is that a better? Is garbage a better Scrabble word than trash?
Garbage is definitely better than trash because.
Did you and Marshall ever talk Scrabble on the
air? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, he. This is all. This is all Dustin. This is
death match. I tried to get. I tried to get it to be you and Mully playing Scrabble.
He tried to.
Mully said no.
Whatever.
Dustin was complaining about being criticized for some horrible spelling.
The one thing I've never done. Yeah.
He let just the backstory. Mm-hmm. He said that he was going to schedule a game against us in Scrabble, and I told him Scrabble has nothing to do with spelling ability. There's an element of it, but Scrabble is a word game, and you need to know what words to lay out in order to get the triple double bonuses.
It helps to know how to spell when playing Scrabble.
It does help to know, but I'm saying that you need certain words and you need, and if people are Scrabble players, they will beat anybody at Scrabble because it's their game.
Yes.
And I told the story about Dan Bernstein famously challenging Raymond Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Laughed about Raymond, and Raymond wiped the table
with him.
I've
heard that story.
And then
Scrabble's a skill.
Then Marshall said that he grew up playing Scrabble and had used to go while his mom was teaching.
I've heard that story too.
And so he,
I'm impressed, but
Dustin
not overly.
Dustin then wanted to fix up a Scrabble game with Marshall. I'm like, I'm not going to get my rear end hand. Then he volunteered you.
Oh, I'm impressed,
so
but not
you
scared.
You now have to take on Marshall.
I'll take
Scrabble.
Him on.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he just said? I'm impressed. I'm not scared.
Yes.
Well, I'm not some whipping boy trying to stand up for Dustin's lack of spelling, so he can have a moment. Let's just get that straight. I don't know about
what would my moment be. What would my moment be? I thought that would be entertaining for the audience.
You have me as your your second. Thanks anyway. Go get yourself shot.
All this from a frustrating text that reflected the Cubs bullpen at that moment. And yet, despite the fact that was a trash effort by the bullpen until our guy Gavin Hollowell showed up.
The hero of the night.
G-Man showed up. And then...
But did I think the headline here is you said that when they fell behind, you immediately thought, well, they can come back from this.
I did.
Because they had just done it on Friday.
Exactly. And that's what I referenced in my head because, full disclosure, I'm sitting there watching it, and when it was 10-7, I turned on hockey. And I thought, well, I'm into the NHL playoffs were bonkers last night. It was terrific. Again, Max Domi scores the game winner for the Leafs. I know you're happy for me. But I'm watching hockey, and I'm thinking, do I need to go back? I'll check my phone. What's going on? 10-7. Oh, you know what? They just came back before. They just came back on Friday. What am I going to miss? All of a sudden, here comes Kyle Tucker. Boom.
Yep.
And then you're locked in, waiting for that moment to arrive. And then you can't go to bed until Ian Happ delivered in the 10th, and what a call it was. Pat and Ron in playoff form and have had a playoff feel to that victory.
Yeah, Amaya then gets the 9th inning hit, and then you get to the extra innings, and what was great about it is that they get out of the 10th, and then Ian Happ didn't make you wait any longer because it was getting to a point where it was bedtime or bust.
It was getting to that point. If they had gone 11.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't have gone well.
It might have been those days laying around with when you had the transistor radio under your pillow, listening to the Cubs before falling asleep. Might have been one of those things. But thank you, Ian Happ, for sending us all to bed on time.
Happy.
Happy.
And we got Biggs time next. We're going to talk to our guy, Brad Biggs, and we'll hit him with various scenarios, and we'll get his take on how wild and wacky it's all going to be. And, man, what was Ian Cunningham doing up there? We'll ask that question of Biggsy next. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.